This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 265. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Grant Morrison, genius or weirdo? This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, July 14th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. Or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We are taping this in advance due to another commitment.
Yes, so that means know who's on the cover.
That's right. Grant Morrison is now wrapping up his ongoing DC work in Batman Incorporated. He is supposedly going to do Multiversity, maybe, if that ever comes out. But we thought this would be a good time to cover his overall work.
Well, I kind of am asking the question, why do people think Grant Morrison is such a good writer / whatever else he does on comics?
Well, he was born 1960 in Glasgow, Scotland.
He's older than me, ha ha ha.
He started, of course, in UK with his work, and his first published work was a Gideon Stargrave strip in Near Miss in 1978, which meant this is when he was 18. His first published work, and that was a character that would later be seen in his work, The Invisibles. There was a Captain Clyde strip in the local papers from 78 to 82 about an unemployed superhero. He worked on the Star Blazer comics anthology. At one point, he submitted a JLA New Gods proposal to DC. This is in 1982, but which was rejected. He then did a Liberators strip in a Warrior anthology. Anthologies are very big in the Britain, UK comics market. He then joined Marvel UK and did a Doctor Who strip with Brian Fitch, who later would work on The Authority and JLA. Then he began some work in the 2000 AD comic. This is 1987. This is a major UK anthology title. And he created Zenith, a Gen X superhero / political satire from 87 to 92, kind of a superhero deconstruction, which he really did a lot of in later works.
Okay, so at this point, he's doing a lot of local stuff.
Right, but local and also UK.
Well, that's what I meant,
right.
The UK.
Mm-hmm.
Is he really building a name for himself over there, or is he just a kind of run-of-the-mill guy at this point still?
Well, the character of Zenith brought him to the attention of DC, who allowed him to pitch a new concept for Animal Man. And this is, again, something he became very well known for, resurrecting minor characters from the history of comics and recreating them in a very different way.
So theoretically, we have him to thank for the Animal Man we have now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That Animal Man concept started as an original graphic novel from Batman, but then moved to a miniseries and then ongoing. The idea being it's about a family man in a world of superheroes, and the characters we know now in Animal Man were created at that point. So the kids and the wife and all that.
Okay, I'll give him that.
So he became part of the British invasion in the comics industry with Neil Gaiman and Peter Milligan and Alan Moore. And then he went on to Doom Patrol and resurrected another 1960s concept and created a very surreal title. And if you ever read his Doom Patrol run, it's trippy.
Now, I have to admit, you know, I did read that because that was, I think, one we read when we were reading graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very trippy. I did not especially like it all that much. But I know so many people who did, including one of my nieces who's not an avid reader, but she likes comics. And she really loved that. She wished there were more.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have thought that. But
he did a revamp of Kid Eternity, which was a very minor character from the golden age of DC. This is 1990. Meanwhile, he's still doing work in the UK, basically doing all his work from the UK. He did The New Adventures of Hitler in 1989, Bible John, A Forensic Meditation, 91, and did stories for Judge Dredd in 1993. So he's still doing a lot of UK work. And then in 1993, Vertigo is formed, and they initially took some of his work that he had originally put out in Britain and republished it here, including Sebastian O, a steampunk miniseries. There was another one called Kill Your Boyfriend in 1995, and Flex Mentallo, More Hero Deconstruction, and a character that was introduced in the Doom Patrol title.
Now, to me, most of Grant Morrison's stuff seems to belong at Vertigo.
Yeah, I would agree. He's then, inexplicably, frankly, although he had certainly managed to make Vertigo work very well, he's then given the reins of the JLA title in 1996. I think they had basically decided that the JLA had, by that point, fallen into disrepair. They really hadn't figured out what to do with the team ever since the Bwahaha era.
Right.
And trying to make it more into a major team again. So in 96, he brings back the Magnificent Seven, the players that you would know from JLA, and brought them back into the team.
So that would be the Batman, Superman
Wonder Woman,
Flash,
Aquaman, Green Lantern.
Sort of the Martian Super Manhunter. Friend guys.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But these were characters that had pretty much been verboten for years from Justice League because DC's attitude at the time was, look, it's hard enough to keep continuity going as it is without taking our major characters that are in half a dozen other books and also putting them in Justice League.
So then they probably said, oh, it was all Grant Morrison's doing bringing the JLA back when really it was just allowing these characters to be used again.
That's a lot of it. It became DC's number one book. He also wrote several Flash stories, and he was also responsible for the DC 1 million event.
Which was just, I think, stupid.
I enjoyed that.
Well, but the whole concept was a little stupid.
The idea of DC 1 million was, what would DC look like, the DC universe look like, when Action Comics reached issue 1 million? Which I now ironically will be about 1,000 issues later than was going to be. And this is, they figured it out, it's the 853rd century. And there are still members of this Justice League. It's actually called Justice Legion A, I believe, now.
So maybe this new Justice League comic that they're coming out with, Justice League 3000, is a stepping stone on the way to Justice League 1 million.
Who knows? Back at Vertigo, he created The Invisibles, which was this political title, also had pop culture, countercultural issues in it, that ran for several years and had its final issue in 2000. Invisibles was really where you saw him get into major political discussions. He then did the JLA Earth 2 original graphic novel, again in 2000, and this is where they kind of reintroduced the crime syndicate characters back into the DCU, which had pretty much been another one that had pretty much been taken off the table. He then moved on to Marvel for a while, and during that time, he worked on New X-Men, which then became the number one title at Marvel. He also wrote Marvel Boy and Fantastic Four 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are there very many people that can move back and forth so readily between Marvel and DC?
I think there are. I think there are quite a few because most of them won't, or the publishers refuse to try to do some sort of long-term exclusivity with them. So they will move back and forth from time to time. So then he's back at Vertigo for The Filth in 2002. And this was a very adult series. In fact, I'm kind of surprised Vertigo was willing to publish this. because it's very adult.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
I don't think you read it.
No. There was also We Three in 2004, and this was about cybernetic pets becoming fighters. We then moved to Seven Soldiers in 2005, where, again, he resurrected mostly forgotten team from the very early days of the DCU in the Golden Age, and he reimagined various characters becoming members of this group, which included the Manhattan Guardian, who was the Guardian from, again, Golden Age, Mr. Miracle, Clarion the Witch Boy, Bulleteer, Frankenstein, which is the Frankenstein you now see in the Justice League Dark. That's when he was introduced. And Zatanna.
I like Clarion the Witch Boy.
Mm-hmm. He had major roles involved in Infinite Crisis and in 52, because by this point, he had grown to be one of the major forces at DC. And that's because of 2005 All-Star Superman with Frank Quitely, who had also worked with him on Flex Mentallo, We Three, and X-Men, widely considered to be one of the top Superman stories of all time. It's this 10-issue series about Superman finding out that he's going to die because he's absorbing too much power over these years, and so he's kind of getting everything ready for things to continue running and to fix all the things he's been meaning to fix all these years as Superman. Very interesting story, which won Eisner, Eagle, and Harvey Awards.
But that really was different than a lot of Grant Morrison's work. It wasn't a trippy thing. I mean, I would never have compared that and, you know, not knowing and thought that the same person that wrote that Doom Patrol wrote this story.
Yeah. In 2006, he took over the Batman title, and this is when he started his major involvement with the character for the next 7 years, which is just now ending with the end of Batman Incorporated next month. He introduced Damian Wayne and then killed him, which just happened. And he created Batman Incorporated, a title that had multiple delays and multiple restarts, and this became more of a theme for Grant Morrison, where stuff just did not come out on time, and I think he became a big enough person in the industry that he's like, well, you know, I'll make deadlines or not, it seemed like. In 2007, Final Crisis was announced, and I think this is really where Morrison went off the rails. There's too many concepts here, and the whole thing is resolved with a magic gun that Superman shoots.
Yeah.
It took far too long to wrap up. In fact, there was an issue of Final Crisis Legion of Three Worlds that came out like 10 months after Final Crisis had already wrapped up.
Yeah, that was just interminable.
There was Joe the Barbarian in 2010, back at Vertigo. And then he was given the reins of Action Comics as part of the New 52 in 2011. That really didn't last long, but he's hardly alone in that. Most of the original creators for the New 52 books have moved on to other books, whether they wanted to or not.
Oh, but we're going to maintain continuity of artists.
Yeah, right. And then, of course, there's that whole multiversity concept, which supposedly is going to come out this year, but considering the fact that they've already announced stuff pretty much through October, seems unlikely.
Well, maybe they're going to announce it at Comic-Con, or did they already have Comic-Con?
No, we're about 2 weeks away from
that. Yeah.
Because there's work has been done for it. Apparently, it's already been written, and the artwork's underway, if not completed. There are 9 one-shots that cover the various 52 Earths. So we're going to see these other Earths and what is happening there. And this is something I've wanted to see for a very long time since they've announced it at least 2 years ago, maybe 3. I think it was probably before Flashpoint. Now, Morrison certainly swings for the fences. He generally is either going to get a home run or strike out.
He takes a very hardy swing.
Yes. He takes a lot of chances, and he has a lot of wild ideas, and there's some evidence this is possibly created.
Rumors
that it's due to drug use that he comes up with some of these ideas when he's apparently off on a trip somewhere. So to come back to your question, why is he considered to be such a major force? I think just because in some cases, he was at the right place at the right time. I mean, he was an up-and-coming writer at a time when DC was looking for talent in Britain. He came along at a time when DC was willing to take a chance on Justice League.
So a combination.
Right.
Well, I guess I'll continue to choose or choose not to read his stuff. I will give up on certain things. I'm not going to always read them.
Okay. Well, as we said, know who's on the cover this week. Damn you, Double Issues! Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.